हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
के पेज 15 8. Real theism cannot begin until the individual soul is enabled by the descent of the absolute to have the opportunity for his service. Right? Because point is we can't ascend to Krishna. It's he has to come down to us. So we take that step towards him, but then he takes that 10 towards us. Otherwise, it's, you know, he can't be approached. Because he is everything and we still don't see him. So it's only if he reveals himself. The Absolute manifests his descent in the form of the name or the transcendental divine sound on the lips of his pure devotees. Right? So that transcendental sound, that chit potency, then we see is then we're dealing with the appropriate spiritual potency. 9. Diksha, or the communication of the knowledge of the transcendental in the form of the sound to the submissive receptive cognition of the individual soul by authorized agents of the Absolute, is the Vedic mode of initiation into transcendental knowledge. Right? So it's through knowledge that initiation is there. Means one goes through the ritual of initiation, but the actual real point of the initiation is the knowledge you gain from that relationship, that commitment.
Is that absolutely necessary to get initiation, to get the knowledge?
Means you're getting, but the point is why wouldn't one get initiation? That's the point. There's no real reason not to. Right? So then generally it's because of lack of commitment or accepting some authority or worrying about being restricted or or fault finding so you can never find anyone good enough. So these are all mundane considerations.
So can we say that the principle is that we have to be connected to Parampara and then we get the knowledge from Shikshas, not necessarily only the Diksha one?
Yes, that's there. But the point is the idea of who you're choosing as the Diksha Guru is also one who can give that knowledge. Right? Working on the principle, just he smiles so nicely, and that's why he's your Diksha Guru. That's not a very deep understanding of the relationship.
Beginning.
Yeah, it's a beginning, yes. It's a beginning. That one appreciates the, what do you call it? Authorized agents of the Absolute. Yeah. Like that. So, yeah. So the point is that there's no reason that it wouldn't happen. And so, generally speaking, one takes Diksha from that person who is the most prominent of the Siksha. But that's the natural form, is that the main Siksha and therefore is the Diksha Guru. It makes it easy. But if not, then Diksha Guru is one person, whoever that has that faith, and Siksha may, develop and be others. Does that make sense? So it can work either way. That's the nice thing about it. It's foolproof, we being the fools. So despite us, it still works. Yes.
So Maharaj, when there is not the time of Acharya, not in Kali Yuga, can we say that the Diksha Guru is the Shiksha Guru?
It may or may not be. The principle is always the same. It's about the founder Acharya, if there's a founder Acharya or not. Because the point is he's the Adi Guru, so he's is the main siksha, but you're still gaining that siksha of Srila Prabhupada from the Guru and the other senior Vaishnavas.
Yes.
Like that. It's coming from there, just like Prabhupada's is coming from previous acharyas, coming from Rupa Goswami.
Yes.
Like that. But the point is he sets the standards and how things will work. Because the difficulty comes up is that we have our own ideas how things work. You know, it's just like I remember there was kind of a feeling that someone had brought up this point, you know, from the economic point of view. Because generally if you bring up the economic point of view, that it reaches a broader range of understanding. While administrative, actually, it's very few people understand it. So someone brought up about established societies, that in established societies, then they are, you know, they are gaining their economic development basically from, trust funds and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people give inheritance, they give trust funds, it's, you know, they're big. While they say the first thing that you do, anybody starts off that way, just to give it a bad name, you know, because it's Americans, of course, then it's called panhandling. Panhandling means you're going out, asking people on the street, trying to do stuff, trying to get little things like that, right? So then some made the mistake of then comparing going out on Sankirtan and selling books and that to panhandling. And therefore, we're not that well of established society. Rather than, no, that's the equivalent of begging. The disciple goes out and begs. And so it's for creating humility. Because if we're looking at it, oh, we don't want to be panhandlers, we want to be the big guys, we're talking about false ego here. Because it's not about the society. You know, they'll say it's about the society. You have to do that. You know, because as soon as you say it's about yourself, then immediately everyone will make a comment. But if it's about the greater good and all that, and then everybody's going to like it. So then kind of the focus on going out on Harinam and, you know, distributing, you know, BTGs there and everything, so it's obvious that it's us, then it was not as prominent. Saying, oh, it can't be done and doesn't work and times have changed and, yeah, it's not the 70s anymore and, you know, like that, or the 60s, you know, with the hippies and like that, because there were less hippies then, like that. They had morphed into something else, like metal or something else, you know, so the hippies weren't really happening. And so all this is that it can't be done. And then while this is going on, and, you know, things are dwindling, devotees joining is less and everything like that, because there's less exposure, no one even knows we exist. Then, over in Russia, when that opened up with the glasnost, then they started going out, Harinam, doing whatever it was that you used to do back in the 60s and 70s in America. Bingo, immediately, they have 100 temples, they got thousands of devotees, everything's going on. And then it was kind of like, wow, okay. You know, what's going on here? So they're thinking, oh, what's the phenomenon? Why is it working? And then they sent one of the GBC representatives over there. You know, someone who's more like intellectual and like that, analytical. He went over and spent some time over there. And then he came back and presented to the GBC body that, you know, the thing that seems to be working over there is they actually have faith in the instruction of Guru. And because of that, that's why there's such drive. You know?
What was their conclusion from this?
Huh?
What was the conclusion?
I don't know the story beyond that point. Just that they recommended, you know, how you say sometimes you have, that, you know, you focus on something for a year, so then the recommendation was, you know, we should make this the year of the guru, you know, and everybody should focus on that. Maybe the rest of the zones will go up by that. So you see, as any zone that uses that, it works. And any zone that avoids it, it doesn't. So it's just, so the whole point is that you're accepting the order of guru like that. But to make sure that it works, right? Because what my point was is, by our perspective, we'll come up with things that don't work. That's why we just stick to the founder Acharya. What he says, that works. Not only for us, even we see other members of the Gaudiya line and even others in other lines, that if they use it, it works. Does that make sense? Remember, I think it was the Madhwas, then Pejwarmat, then their junior wanted to learn English. So then I think someone gave him a Gita and he studied Gita, Prabhupada's Gita. And then he did learn English in that because he had this idea to go to America and preach. And then he just wanted to learn English. Then by reading Prabhupada's Gita, he got the interest to go out and preach. And so because they had some, Madhwa contacts in America, because if you want to make money, if you're from South India, you want to make money, you go to America. You don't go to England, you don't go to Australia. Like that. That's for Bengalis. Right? You go to America. Right? Yeah. So then he had contacts, he went out, he preached and everything like this. So you see, it just works. And then they also started something, how we have the traveling Sankirtan and all that, like that. They started a traveling Sankirtan bus. They had a bus painted, on the side, like how we do. Like that, and went out in village to village and preaching and all that, and things went very, very nicely. So, that whole concept, that what the founder Acharya says, it works for anybody. But what we dream up doesn't necessarily work for anybody. So that's why we stick to what the Acharya said. Now, in that, we're going to get that conviction, get that understanding in that from our guru. Both Diksha and Shiksha. The point is Diksha, the point of it is the communication of knowledge of the transcendental in the form of sound for the submissive cognition of the individual soul. It's Bhaktivinoda Thakura saying. That's what Diksha is. Right? Yes. Now, if you have someone else who's more prominent in the Siksha, that still works. But the point is Diksha is about the instruction. It's not about the ritual. That's smartness. For them, the Diksha is just the ritual. Yes.
So, what are the components of faith? Because we see some people, they have it. Some people, they have it a little bit. And some people don't.
Don't. It's a matter of when you get it, do you invest it? And then investing it, do you grow it? Faith, basically, the kind of faith that dynamically works is the faith that devotional service is actually the answer to the individual living entities, the answer to all their needs. That's the main thing. Because as long as we think that devotional service plus something else is going to make us happy and satisfied, then that the faith will be weak. Right? And so it may come up, but it won't necessarily... See, in faith, we're talking about... we're talking about advancement, because, the idea of kanistha madhyam uttam, that's just a formula, right? So when we apply it on advancement, then we'll put kanistha, meaning, Shraddha, through anartha nivriti, right? Then we'll say madhyama will be nishta through asakti, and then uttama will be bhava to prem, right? Bhava and prem and beyond, right? So then, that's the standard way we use it. But when it comes to faith, because we see is that Prabhupada mentions that the madhyama, that's the beginning of advanced devotional service, that's because of the faith. Right, so prema is mature faith. Right, so then in this case, then faith is then divided into kamal or weak, then madhyama and uttama. That let's say someone who has shraddha and sadhu sangha, that would be kamal, that would be weak. Right, they have enough to get them the practicing and associating and all that, but not enough where they see the importance or the commitment to take initiation. Now, if they do that, they're committed to the process and try to follow that and everything, and following the order of guru very nicely. Because before that, they just have to hang around, be nice guys, eat the halava, help a little bit here and there. You're good, But then when you're committed to the mission, committed to the guru, then you see that's madhyama faith. But uttama faith is said to start at nishta. That's why the comment, why we say it's advanced devotional service from there. And that advanced, that faith, that uttama faith, that is defined as seeing that, having the conviction that by devotional service, all other processes are already included. That means other spiritual, other religious, other material, all that. Everything is included in devotional service. Is that what you mean? So that's what you're once looking for, that ekaina, you know, one-pointed focus. That's the thing that you're once looking for. And if that one-pointed focus isn't there, that means there's things other than Krishna. Right? It's all Krishna, of course, but they don't get the credit for it because they're not seeing it in connection with Krishna. Does that make sense? So what areas they do have that faith, then they'll advance from that. But the areas they don't, those are obstacles. So it'll slow the process down. So yes.
You're saying that the Madhyama Adhikari, he doesn't become Madhyama Adhikari until Nishtha. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Where can we look at, kind of find this, where's this reference? Or?
You can try Madhurya Kadambini.
Madhurya Kadambini?
Yeah.
Thank you.
See, there's a lot of these things are you put together quite a few places.
Thank you.
Good job. Okay. 10. The name is the object of worship of all pure souls. The transcendental service of the name, or bhakti, is the proper function of all souls, and the only mode of quest of the truth. The pursuit of this right method of quest leads to a growing perfection of bhakti and progressive realization of subjective nature of the object of worship. Right. So as long as we see that it's devotion is the proper function, is the only method, then by following that, then we start to understand Krishna as a person. Right? Because the whole point is if we don't understand Krishna as a person, then we won't be gaining the full benefit that Lord Chaitanya is offering.
Right. So
yes.
It should be proper sambandha, or here we talk about prayojan.
Well, it means this the method means this the whole thing, the sambandha, abhidaya, and prayojan. You have that proper understanding, that whole thing together.
He puts the emphasis on the object of worship.
Yes.
Means?
The object is Krishna.
Yes. It means prayojan.
It is, but the point is we hear the pursuit of this right method, that it's all about Krishna. Now, how will it be all about Krishna if we have identities other than servant of Krishna? And we see other methods are important. Just like we say, you know, I mentioned many times that, yes, well, until the devotees learn, you know, how to be, you know, behave themselves and that we're seen in a good light by the public, and then only then the movement can go forward. That's a material contamination, because bhakti is independent of our so-called good qualities. Because the good qualities that they're defining there, how do you define that? What's the standard of them? You know what I'm saying? Because for themselves, they'll have one standard. For their friends, it'll be similar standard. For people who they don't see in a good light, they have a totally different standard. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, let us say, the conservative. He's working for the benefit of other conservatives. Right? So that will be seen in the negative light of, you know, they're just working for themselves. They're only worried about themselves. Okay. Right? So we see that in the negative light. Why aren't they seeing in a broader way? Okay. But if we look at it from another light, now let's say the liberal person is doing the same thing, because they don't like conservatives, so they're not going to do anything for their benefit. They're going to do something for those who are liberal and support the liberals. Right? And they'll say that this is community. But somehow or another, the conservatives as a community working together to support each other is not community development. You understand? So, where is the absolute standard? There isn't one. So unless you use pure devotion as the measurement, right? Because we said, you know, that Maya means the measurement by which you judge. So if you use Maha Maya, the measurement will always be wrong. Only if you use Yoga Maya. Where do you get yoga? That's by Krishna. And how is that based? It's based on Krishna's subjective nature. You know, it's like we look at this thing as, oh, but I don't like to wear a dhoti and this and that. I'm more comfortable in pants. Okay, fine. That's great. But somehow or another, we want to make that into a universal principle. Right? That's universal. It's comfortable. Everybody, you know, everybody wears pants. Right? Like that. And so, okay, great. But the difficulty comes down is we're starting with my subjectivity. And then when we say, but Krishna wears a dhoti, and why is he wearing that dhoti? Because of his subjectivity. So then it comes down, is it about Krishna's subjectivity or ours? And because if we put it to that, it looks bad. It's, you know, it looks bad. So therefore we have to say, well, where does it say Krishna wears a dhoti? Right? Prabhupada says, everyone else says, every sampradaya when they do paintings of Krishna, deities of Krishna, anything about Krishna, any way we've ever contacted Krishna by anyone in any bona fide position, even those who are not bona fide, he's wearing a dhoti. And then we have this doubt. Because some academic guy who's never been to India hasn't seen it. And because they're Sanskritists who are basically compared to Indian level of Sanskrit are like beginners, you know, like grade school like level. And the vocabulary they have has also been is very meager and it's been used in a particular way to look bad for the Vedic culture. That was the whole purpose of Mueller and all these guys. And so then we'll base on that. And we'll take them as authority instead of our own acharya, our previous acharyas, or any of the other acharyas. So here we're dealing with something 100% mundane. It's our subjectivity against Krishna's. And that's why we're in the material world. Who's the enjoyer, Krishna or us? Krishna's enjoying this, but I could enjoy this. So therefore we come to the material world. Does that make sense? So, like you said, the prayojan has to be about Krishna's subjectivity. But we have to understand it includes the proper understanding of us, our relationship, the process is the holy name. Other things are in support of that. As long as they're supportive, they're useful. This is what Prahlad Maharaj says in the seventh canto. Right? Some reason. Yeah. So then that's the whole idea is that we start to see that pure devotional service is the only standard. Everything else is not a standard. It may be useful, but it's not a standard unless it's connected to Krishna consciousness. Is that... Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah? Riti. In this section, the three features of the manifestation of the one absolute truth is defined and the process of obtaining true realization of them is illuminated. Right? Because Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, you have to have the understanding of how they connect together. What's the actual position? Because otherwise sometimes you talk about Brahman and devotees, oh, we're not Mayavadis. But the point is Krishna pervades everything as Brahman. Right? Three chapters in Bhagavad Gita are talking about him as a universal form, which is his Brahman expansion. Right? And so, therefore, to be able to understand, we always just see it, oh, that's not Brahman, that's Krishna just in his opulence. Yes, but that's the meaning of Brahman. The idea that the Mayavadis have of Brahman doesn't exist. That's an illusory concept of Brahman. Mm-hmm. Okay. One, the ultimate reality is termed as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. The Brahman conception stresses the necessity of excluding the deluding, concrete, limited experience of the followers of apparent truth. Right? So that's that's why we see is that when we're talking that you could basically say the path of Jnana Yoga. You know, like those later chapters in Bhagavad Gita, the last six chapters, you know, 11th, 12th canto. You know, it comes up so many different times, is that you're stressing the necessity of removing the material perspective, material endeavors, material goals. Right? Like that. You stress that. That's the aspect there. So you're trying to remove the connection to the mundane. The conception of Paramatma seeks to establish a tangible connection between this temporal world and the ultimate reality. So, we're giving up the deluded, concrete, limited experience of the followers of apparent truth, right? And remember when we say concrete, because we can say, no, but it's illusory. Why are we using the word concrete? Because we already used deluded. Concrete is how they see it. Their experience, right? The item itself that can be observed, that's abstract. Because 10 people will observe it in 10 different ways. So therefore it's abstract, it's generic. The individual's perception of that, and therefore how it affects their life, that's the concrete. Like for themselves, it's not concrete for someone else. Means what's concrete for you may be concrete for friends, that's why you're friends. Right? You find friends that when you say something that means something to you, they get the same feeling. Right? So that's the concrete. Limited, right, because it's not connected to Krishna. And apparent truth appears. Facts are there, yeah, the different things are there. But it is apparent that it's truth, but they don't see it in light of Krishna, so it's not actual truth. So that you have to get rid of. Then Paramatma, we see the temporal world in connection, a tangible connection between that and Krishna. Right? In the spiritual world. Does that make sense? So how to take this material nature and connect it to Krishna? Mm-hmm. Right? So we're removing the false approach to this world. In other words, the world is there, it's real. Mm-hmm. But people, how they look at the world, they look at it in a way that it's not real. They look at the temporal, so therefore it's not actually real. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's not going to give any benefit for the soul. Then, from there, then you have to see, okay, my situation, how do I connect that to Krishna? What's recommended? What does Krishna say? Right? So then that's the Paramatma. What am I supposed to do? He's God. I'm the living entity. I'm in the material world. Material world belongs to Him. He's created. He maintains it. He destroys it. How to connect this to His service? Right? Both of these conceptions present not only an imperfect, but also a grossly misleading view of the Absolute. Right? Even though we use these, but they only have meaning when they're a connection with point two. The conception of Bhagavan as transcendental personality, who is approachable by Shuddha Bhakti, or unalloyed devotion of the soul, corresponds to the complete realization of the Absolute, which necessarily also accommodates the supplements, the rival concepts of Brahman and Paramatma. Right? Because they're part of Krishna. Does that make sense? What are you looking up?
The questions.
I see. Do we need to write this down or not? That's really technical. Oh, it's not in the question. Forget it. Okay.
Good oriented.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's why she asked before. Is this about this?
That was not the question.
Yes.
So the active principle in a material world, which is actually works, is Brahman. But here we see that the connection which we make to the Lord through the material world is in Paramatma level.
Yes.
Isn't there some...
Yeah, you could say that. But the point is, as Prahlad Maharaj points out, unless these religious principles are connected to Krishna, meaning the person, it's all a waste of time. So he's not meaning that... Bhagavan is the uniqueness that is presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. Other literatures will generally talk about Krishna as Brahman and Paramatma.
My point is that here the presentation of Brahman is that giving up the material concept of what you conceive as according to mundane perception.
Yes, but seeing it in connection to the Lord, that's Paramatma.
But
so in other words, the Brahman means you're separating matter from spirit. And having understood spirit, now you connect what we have here to the Lord, because all this is spirit. By Brahman realization, we understand that what we're dealing with, everything's Brahman. So there is no matter. There's only, but that's not enough. You have to connect it to the Lord. That's Paramatma. But connecting to the Lord, it's only complete when the Lord is a person. Means Paramatma, he's a person. Right? You know, like the president is a person, but you don't really care about him as a person. You just care what he does as a president. Is that something else? Yes.
Yeah, I couldn't catch that. Giving up that negative analysis on a material level and then seeing the active principle is simultaneous.
It's simultaneous. Yes. Because that's the whole point, is that you can't see it as Brahman and see it as it's mundane. Yes. You can perceive how people are seeing as mundane, but that doesn't generally come from that level. That comes from Bhagavan level. Because then as a person, then the living entity is a person. They're simply trying to express their individualness as a person. But the problem is it comes out in a negative form because they don't see their relationship with Krishna.
Mark?
Yes.
Can we say that due to lack, even though devotees, they understand that everything is Brahman, but they still try to enjoy to some extent. So
yes,
in theory they understand, but
yes, they do. But the point is, it's not about the enjoyment; it's about connecting it to Krishna.
That's right.
Just like prasad, it's connected to Krishna, and so it's not a problem. Krishna doesn't have a problem that the living entities enjoy. It's the problem is that enjoyment, the natural understanding is that enjoyment's coming from Krishna. So when we try to see enjoyment as separate from Krishna, that's where the problem comes. Right? This idea is that, we can't enjoy anything at all, and all that, and that's real devotion. Then that's coming from the kind of idea of, you know, karma and jnana. Because jnana means there's nothing, karma means it's everything. So it's still the same principle. You know, we see, the Goswamis are renounced and this and that, but it doesn't mean that they're not enjoying. Right? Because they're enjoying in Krishna consciousness. They don't enjoy anything mundane, and what they don't need, they don't deal with. Right? Well, a householder, he has more facility because he needs it for that, and so he's enjoying in that environment. But the enjoyment is in connection with Krishna, not with the material elements and the senses. But the senses are engaged, so they're naturally taken care of. So that's the problem, is this simultaneously one and different aspect, that's generally what's confusing. So you see others, it's much more focused on the rules themselves, and you just do this, it works, and you don't do this, it doesn't work. But for us, it only works if it's connected to Krishna as Bhagavan. And if it is, it works, and if it's not, it doesn't. So therefore, yes, we follow all the rules, but the point of the rules is the connection to Krishna. Because we'll consider, I follow all the rules, I'm together. But no, you have to take it beyond. Because otherwise, then, if this understanding's not there, then, you know, after 2, 3 years, 4 years, when we actually become good at following the rules, then we'll consider, I'm advanced and everything's done, and now there's nothing more to do. Right? And so then the problem comes is that now if one is satisfied in that performance and that's the only focus, then that's great. But if you have any material desire other than that, now what? So now, if you don't understand this principle, you're not going to engage these things according to the Paramatma level in Krishna service. You're just going to fall back down below the Brahman level to one's own culture. Right? And because you don't want to look attached and all that, then you have to use all kinds of nice, pleasant social platitudes to kind of express that how it's such an advanced position. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty, is that Prabhupada's point is that you read the books, you study the books. Then you can appreciate what's going on. Like you can see, it's devotional service, pure devotional service has been there from day one of the study and the introduction to Gita. But you see, it's only when you start getting the seventh canto that it becomes emphasized more and more. And as you go up, it gets more and more and more. Till 11th canto, it's that's it. If it's not seen in that light, it has no point. But, so then the ability to appreciate that. Because before that, if you remember, in the first six cantos, if the point comes up about just bhakti, then immediately somebody's hand will go up and says, yes, but what about our practical life and this and that? It always, guaranteed. You know? Get in the seventh canto, it's still there, but now we start getting, okay, and like that. But by the time we got to 11th canto, we're saying, that's it, nothing else. And everybody's cool, because they already understand that the engagement of the family position and whatever I'm doing is its only value is its usefulness to assist us in being Krishna conscious. So we're able to see that bhakti already includes that. But before that, we think it's two separate things. Bhakti is one thing, and my life is another thing. But then it comes to the point, it's not. Bhakti is life. Right? Because in the devotional service, you never see, you know, something's going on in that, and, the residents of Vrindavan, somebody's telling someone else, like, get a life. No, that happens in the material world. Right? They have a life. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing. Bhakti is life. That's actual life. Everything else is illusion. As he mentioned, what was the thing? Deluded, concrete, limited experience of the followers of apparent truth. Yes?
I was just having trouble kind of exactly capturing some examples. You were saying that everywhere up to the 11th canto, specifically cantos 1 through 6, it's mostly, there's many, every time that pure bhakti is brought up, somebody raises their hand and says, oh, well, what about this?
What about that? Because we're talking about a 12-year study course. So that means...
Well, you're not talking about in the Bhagavatam, you're talking about...
No, I'm not talking about in the Bhagavatam, I'm talking about the who's sitting here in this class.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank you.
Like that. So it's just as they go, they progress. So this is this is the ninth year of a 12-year course.
Thank you.
Yeah? Does that make sense? So if some of this doesn't make so much sense, that's why.
Sorry.
You know what I'm saying? The matter is not, it's approachable, but I'm just saying the particular examples in that I'll give may not be, this is not the first year course. Is that okay?
Yeah, thank you.
When you say that Brahman, it eliminates the matter, and then you have the spirit which is left, then you connect it to Paramatma, and then you approach Bhagavan. This is a three-step process, like in Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan.
The three-step process.
Three stages it goes. And then it seems as if, you know, like if you do not approach Bhagavan directly, then this happens to be an intellectual way of approaching Bhagavan. Is it so?
If you don't approach directly, then this is intellectual, yes. So the point is the direct is always what's recommended and given. And then if we take it, great. And if not, then accordingly, then we use karma yoga or jnana yoga to get us to the transcendental position in which we can appreciate Krishna as a person. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
So it's only a matter of faith. You know, this will fix our faith.
Yes, it's a matter of faith, but it has to be real. It's not a matter of the external show of faith. It means actually just how we see. So the point is we use the tools that are necessary. Right, just like for a disease, you use the particular medicine and techniques for the particular disease that's there. So if the disease is more karma, you use that. If it's more jnana, you use that. You know, it's just a matter of what works. Okay. 3, the Brahman conception is misunderstood by exclusive monists, Kevaladvaita of the Shankara school, who quite disingenuously, that's interesting. When you say something's ingenious, it's really smart. So disingenuously means not so smart. Who quite disingenuously assumed that the conception denied the transcendental personality and figure of the absolute. Okay, so the problem comes is that their approach to the Brahman, they're exclusive Kevala Dvaitas. We're Dvait Advait, you know, Achinta Veda Veda Tattva, right? It's simultaneous one and different, inconceivably. So they're just taking the oneness aspect. And so they can't see anything different other than Brahman. So they're starting at the beginning stage of spiritual life, which is fine. But the problem is they think that that's all there is. So because of that, then they cannot accept the transcendental personality and form of the Lord. And then Paramatma, they'll deal with him by just saying he's an expansion of goodness. You know, he's the topmost manifestation of goodness within the material realm. The Brahman comes in that form. So that they're unable to actually even grasp the Brahman platform, because they're being Mayavadis. They'll say if it's giving any trouble, if it has form, it must be illusion, right? So whatever is here is illusion. So then what is Brahman? They say there is one, but basically you can see it's just you get rid of all that, you have nothing, and that nothingness, now that's supposed to be Brahman. So it's actually Buddhism. For Kumaras, it's all transcendental. It's all Brahman. But they don't see beyond that to Paramatma and Bhagavan. Then, through coming in contact with the pure devotees and devotional service, then they take up Bhagavan realization.
So, yeah. So we can appreciate the Brahma is much more than the Kevala. Can we see that?
We can appreciate
the Brahmavadis
more than... So if we say we appreciate the Brahmavadis more than the Mayavadis, that means there's some appreciation for the Mayavadis. So we have no appreciation for the Mayavadis. And Brahmavadis, Brahmavadis, they're okay, but it's just that they need to go further. It's just like... Let's say you're an educator, okay? And you're working at the postgraduate level, okay? Now, if you're an educator, not a teacher, not an intellectual, an educator, just to make it more clear here, can you appreciate that the child in third grade is doing well? No. Okay. Wrong example. See, I said educator. So, okay. Okay. So, you have some, how you say? You have a pot on the stove. In the pot is water. And the water is boiling. In that water there are potatoes, and those potatoes have been boiling for 5 minutes, and they're supposed to boil for 20 minutes. So, now in that cooking process, that they're boiled for 5 minutes, can you appreciate that they've been boiled for 5 minutes? And now they only have 15 minutes to go, as opposed to 20 minutes.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Of course. Okay, so that's Brahma, that's the Brahma bodies. Okay.
Practical.
Yes, yes. Universal. Especially should be potatoes, right? Unless they're health freaks, then broccoli, right? Okay. Four, the root of the error lies in the fear of the impersonalist that if concreteness in the absolute is admitted, such an admission would lead to the importation of the undesirable features of apparent truth, experienced by the methods of sensual perception, into the transcendental concept of the absolute reality, favored by the scriptures. Right? So, now they're worried that for the exclusive monists, that if you agree to, the concreteness of the absolute, right, there's an actual perception, there's, you know, interaction, there's all these different things. There's feelings, desires, and all these different things. Then they're worried that the fault of the material, so-called concreteness, will come into the absolute. They don't understand it's two different things. This is a reflection of that. It's like saying, okay, we see something in a mirror, but we don't see the original thing. And that thing in the mirror is giving us problem because we're trying, let's say you have something edible. We'll try that. In the mirror. Reflected in the mirror. I won't get into any particular thing because that might itself create a problem. Especially because today's Ekadasi, right? You have to remember. Hmm? Yes. Something edible. So buckwheat's edible when you put enough butter on it. Okay.
Today is a potato day.
Yes, it's potato day. I was going to say a baked potato, but then I don't know if people like the sour cream and the butter and all this and that. But no? Okay. So something edible, whatever, of your choice. It's a codicil, and however hungry you may be, you can see in the mirror the item, but you can't see the original. You want to enjoy that. You try to get it. You can't get it. So you think that the problem is because it has form, it has color,
yes.
And it's giving you a particular concrete experience.
Yes.
And so therefore, if I want to be happy, I have to remove that and there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So then you say, well, what's the problem? You just eat the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, but it'll have the faults of the reflection in the mirror.
Yes.
That's what we're dealing with.
Yes.
Because they don't know what's beyond. They don't appreciate the original. So,
yes. So Maharaj, if we are not in contact with the pure bhakti, it's always an illusion, projection.
Always like that. It means that your perfection is that you can make the illusion perfect, or the perfection is getting rid of all aspects of that illusion. You know? You know, I mean, it's just standard, all or nothing, right? You know, it's just the way we work. Right? So we don't know is that there is the actual, the reality, ultimate truth is actually the point. From our perspective, it's alternate reality, but it's the original reality. This is the alternative, and it's not a great alternative. You know? Yeah. 5. The method of Shuddha Bhakti, while recognizing fully the necessity of admitting the transcendental nature of the ultimate reality, does not deny the imminent transcendental connection of the Absolute with manifest mundane existence, which idea is found in the yogis' conception of Paramatma, but in a wrong and offensive formulation. Right? So, when you're talking about pure devotion, while fully recognizing the necessity of admitting the transcendental nature of the Absolute ultimate reality, it means, in other words, the Krishna as a person, that is, while recognizing that is fully the necessity, it doesn't mean that they deny how Krishna pervades everything and how his connection with the material world and how he's the controller of it. And how he can be seen through it. Because immanent here means how he's pervading everything. Right? So in yoga, then they only understand Paramatma, they don't understand Bhagavan, so then there's a fault there. Right? And then they may think that ultimately they are that Paramatma, so then that's where it becomes offensive. Right? So only, like you said, only in contact with a pure devotee can you actually know things as they are. There is absolutely no other method. It doesn't matter what you read or this or that or anything like that. Right? Because Prabhupada, that's his opening I think it's in the second paragraph or something of the introduction to Gita. Where he makes the point that there's hundreds of Gitas. And people have been reading them. But no one became a devotee. Right? Even Emerson and Thoreau didn't become devotees. Because they didn't read from parampara. So they're unable to appreciate that the subjective reality of the Lord, that he's a person, that he has his own way he likes to do things. That he's God, he could do anything he wants. Right? But he lives in Vrindavan with the residents there, and they do their activities there. They dress in a way, they speak in a particular way, they act, they do all the different things, the relationships. you know, what things Radharani does, what Krishna does, what the cowherd boys do, what Mother Yashoda and them do, what the Brahmins do, what the, you know, it's all different. And that's according to Krishna's pleasure. Because he's got, he can do anything he wants. And this is what he does. So that's the point, is that him being the all perfect, it must be good. He's happy to do that eternally, so it must be good, because we're not happy to do anything eternally. Right? Somebody says, even you can say, no, but I could be rich and powerful and famous and all that, you know, and that. And but then we see the example of, I think it was Louis XIV. Then for fun at Versailles, because they have huge grounds, they would have their, you know, the stable hands go and round up the cows and all that, and they would dress up as cowherds and go out into the fields there and, you know, do the stuff and have their picnic out there and eat what cowherds would eat when they're on out. And but, you know, of course it's on their own grounds and, you know, no one else could see, but whatever it is. But that's the whole point, is that even whatever the great position, it's always fun to do something else. So, but Krishna has been doing this in time immemorial and will continue, so that means it's perfect. It's beyond perfect. So then accepting that, then everything works very nicely. So, yeah. 6. The conception of Bhagavan realized by the process of Shuddha Bhakti harmonizes these respective requirements as secondary features of the proper transcendental personality of the Absolute. Right, so that's the important thing. So you understand Bhagavan is the primary, Brahman and Paramatma are secondary aspects. The Adhoksaja and Aprakrita methods of quest alone tend to such realization. So when you're using, the focus is on Adhoksaja and Aprakrita. That's your deck. So Aprakrita is the main. And then Adhoksaja is how Krishna comes down into these things. Right? And then like this. So these, if you can use these, but you have to know that Adhoksaja is subservient to Aprakrita. Does that make sense? How Krishna's come down into everything, how he pervades everything, and then how all the different things in the scripture are in accordance with that. And so we see the regulations of scripture in connection with Krishna. Krishna will descend down into that, and you'll get the experience of Krishna in whatever you're doing. But if you don't, then on that aparoksha platform, you'll just be on that platform. Krishna won't descend down. In other words, he naturally is descended into Adhoksaja, because he pervaded the world. So the Brahman and Paramatma features have pervaded everything. Right? Now we can appreciate him in the situation we're in, where we're situated in Varna and Ashram and whatever duties and religious principles we're doing. Right? And so then by that method, then we can appreciate Krishna, and Krishna then will extend from Adhoksaja down into Aprakrita. I mean, Aparoksha. But only because we're conscious of that. Otherwise, he doesn't. Right? And someone who does that, he'll extend down to Aparoksha, engaging the Paroksha and, I say, Pratyaksha levels of gaining this knowledge and consciousness. You have to connect them up to this platform of Aparoksha. Does that make sense? So putting it into other ways that we're used to is that Krishna is Anandamaya. Right? He's Anandamaya Vyasat. Right? So, but he pervades everything. He creates the world. He extends everything like that. So on the Vijnanamoy platform, he as Brahman Paramatma are pervading everything. That's just going on. Only someone on that level generally appreciates that. But even being on that level, they can, we can see, like the impersonalists, not appreciate. They just appreciate how he's pervading. They don't understand him as a person. So that's why it's secondary to the primary of him as a person. Now, someone on Manomoy, where they accept the Vedic culture, the Vedic everything like that, the processes that are there, the religious principles, the scriptures, now they see it in relationship to Krishna, then from that Vijnanamoy platform, he'll descend down into that Jnanamoy platform. Right, the Manomoy. Only if you connect it. If you connect it, he'll descend. You don't try to connect it, he won't descend. That's where you have to make the effort. Then he'll reciprocate. Now, things from Anamoy and Pranamoy, you have to connect up to Manamoy for them to be connected to Krishna. You can't just say, oh, that connects to Krishna. You have to connect it up to here, up to Shastra. And from Shastra, then it goes to Krishna.
Mm-hmm. 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 Usually we see that when we try to connect, it is not clearly mentioned, and therefore it is necessary that you know, you should have a teacher who will tell how to connect.
Yes, but that's the whole point that we're getting in here, is that mm-hmm. without the context of the parampara, then we won't know any of this. So that's the whole point. You can be the smartest person in the universe, right? But if you don't have a connection to the parampara, you won't understand anything. You'll understand this external seeming absolute truth.
I'm thinking that we have an example for Brahma, who is the smartest person in the universe. And first, after 1,000 years of meditation, it's in the Bhagavatam, he came to conclusion karma is the thing.
Right.
And then, but he wasn't satisfied. Then jnana is the thing. Only from the supreme authority he realized it's all about bhakti. So.
Yes, but it only came from Krishna.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that's the thing, is by one's material facilities, because you're working with material stuff, you can only get material stuff. Yeah. It's just like if I have potatoes, I can only get potatoes. Right? So it's only if there's something beyond that.
Yeah.
You know, then it comes to that transcendental position, like when I put butter on the potato. Right? You know, so that, but the butter descends down to the potato, right? It doesn't come up from underneath, right? You have the potato and you put the butter from up to down onto the potato. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. You don't take the butter and then move your potato up to it. It just doesn't work. Right? Yeah, so it's just practical.
And we need to have the real consciousness.
Yes, yes, it must be real consciousness. Like that.
So Maharaj, it is like a cooperation between Krishna and the living entity.
Yes, yes. But it's based on the living entity taking that step, because Krishna is always, always cooperative with the living entity. But the point is the X factor in this is us. We're the unknown factor. What we're going to do, why we're going to do it, and everything like that. Krishna, it's known. This is the way he is. He explains it in the scriptures, and that's how it is. So there's not a problem there. So, yeah. Okay. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana defined in terms of the Bhagavad. Riti. In this section, the whole Bhagavad philosophy is explained by the author in terms of the Vastutraya, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, in the similar way as in the Satsandarbhas. Because right? If he's giving essence, you're going to take from essence, and the Satsandarbhas will be the essence. And so then you're giving the essence of the essence. Right? One, Sambandha. Or relationship implies a numerical reference. The ultimate reality is one without a second, though the aspects of the absolute may prove different in different eyes. The unity of the ultimate reality carries a similarity to the integer of mathematical conception, denoting himself as the object of worship, Sri Krishna, and connotating his Shakti in her three aspects and her transformations and products. Right? So integer here means?
A whole number.
Oh, okay. So then he is the complete, right? And then he is the object of worship. And but him, it means that you're including his energies and their three features and the transformations of those energies, right? So you have this Sarup, him as the complete whole, his Sarup Shakti. Then the Sarup Shakti has the three features of internal, external, and marginal, and then the transformations of that by the internal being the spiritual world, the external being the material world, and the tatasa being the jivas. Right? Right. And then everything else that comes from that. Two, under quote-unquote relationship, therefore come all those parts of the teachings of the Bhagavad that reveal the knowledge of the subjective nature of Sri Krishna. Right? So who he is as a person and everything like that, that's Sambandha Jnana. Because we're talking about, oh no, but you know, the Prayojana and all that, Sambandha Jnana, we've heard all that, but do we understand how he's a person and can tell the difference between Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and how Brahman and Paramatma are subservient to Bhagavan? And so then it's about him. If it's about him, then we're doing things because it pleases him. Right? We follow a codicil because it pleases Krishna. Right? We can ask, okay, technically how it pleases Krishna, but is that important? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, okay, the small kid wants to eat chips. Is it important that we know technically why it is? Well, you know, because in there, you know, in the particular thing like this and that, and because of the fasting, then the salt level went down like that, and then this and that, and then so you get the maximum amount of salt intake from taking these chips, and so that's why actually they want the chips. Is that important? Does that have anything to do with the relationship between you and that child? Zero. So if that's what's necessary, yes, those knowledge is there. But the point is it will be that technical. Right? So the thing is yes, if you're going to use the jnana yoga and all these things, it is technical. But the point is that it's just Krishna likes it that way. Yes.
I mean, many devotees, they can't appreciate the Rasik answers that Krishna just likes it. They need those kind of explanations.
Yes,
so it drops
yes.
down on the tattva level of discussion.
Yeah, but if you give the technical tattva, they won't understand that either.
Exactly. That's the difficulty.
Yeah.
They are not on that level.
No, because if they're on that level, they won't ask the question. Or if they do, they'll understand the answer. It'll just be, they'll ask a question, they get the answer. Like you see Sukadeva Goswami and Purkitmar. He asks a question, he gives them the answer, he understands. Right? Then he'll give an example just to make it very clear. Because much of the time he asks a question, he'll give a, next verse will give the answer. Then he'll explain it and bring it out. Because, you know, the point is there, the thesis is there. Then he'll give the reasoning, then the example, and, you know, that includes the story, you know, and so all that. That's the difficulty. Those that demand the thing, they can't understand the technical points. So that's why it's, you know, and Prabhupada so successfully gives those technical points in very nice language. But because it's simple language, they think it's not very elevated. You know? So then that becomes the difficulty. You know, if their taste is karma, they want something that's practical in that way. Though Prabhupada's given it, but the point is if you're working in passion and ignorance, even though the answer is given exactly how you engage your senses in your position, but it's in the mode of goodness, we won't catch it. Right? Does that make sense? So from that, and if someone considers himself intellectual, then they want that intellectual language and flavor. And if you don't give it in that, they'll be unsatisfied. So in other words, their mundane needs are not addressed. So it's going to be a problem. So you do the best you can. That's why then you find examples that get you slowly get through. But it may take some time. You know, like depending upon if it's a new audience and that, give yourself 10 days. After 10 days, they'll start to understand what you're talking about. Then it works very nicely. Right? If it's a previous audience that you've spent some time with, but you're coming with a, you know, kind of a new angle and all that, give them 5.
It also depends what kind of reference they have. It's from one language, one country, one frame of reference.
Yes, possible. That's what Shankaracharya says. Really? One book. You know, one religion, one deity, like that, you know, in the Gita Mahatmya. So, yeah. So that's where then the regional preachers, then they, by preaching in that area, then they start to learn what works. And so that's why then generally those from that area become leaders in that area and naturally, because they can give those references and give those examples that inspire those local residents. Right? And others may, you know, especially if it's just directly the devotional, then anybody can come and do that. But if you want to remove doubts and stuff like that, then much of the time you need to be able to use something that they can relate to. Does that make sense? So that's the point that comes up. Now, if you're in contact with the Karampara nicely like that, on a constant element and always hearing about this pure devotion, then very quickly you can make a connection between all these different regions. And they'll all be moving forward, progressing. So in the beginning, they'll all look very different, very regional. But as they advance, then you'll see that there's no difference between someone from any one region and another. Right? Because their values and how they perceive, and that would be the same. But if you don't have that regular focus like that, then these different areas will develop into their own, basically, religions. And because they don't understand, that means something you don't understand, we generally are afraid of, we don't like. So therefore, one religion doesn't like another religion. One area doesn't like another, like that. The food's different, the language is different. You know, why would they do that? You know, we have olive oil. You know, why would they put butter on something? And on the north, we have butter. Why would they put olive oil? You know?
Mustard.
Yeah, mustard. Yeah. Mustard oil on baked potato, right? Yeah. So that's the thing is that then you get these things and then they don't understand each other and then you create all this problems between them. Well, the aspect of pure devotion, that's universal because that's addressing the soul, and then whatever their position, their community, the background, yes, they can engage those in the Lord's service in pure devotion, but it won't have a different flavor. While this, they're engaging something different based on their conditioning, and it has a different flavor. But if pure devotion is understood, they can be offering different things according to their region, and it won't have a different flavor. Because it has that still that same pure devotion. So that's then what's being offered. That's the universal. Pure devotion is the universal religion. Nothing else. Okay. Okay. Three, under Abhideya, or function, are included all those parts of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam which reveal the nature of the transcendental worship and negativity of the activity of aversion to Sri Krishna. So that's why we see that it would point out the aversion aspect, so we wonder, well, isn't this Sambandhigyan? But it's pointing out this is the process that's used, all these great personalities, and then pointing out what doesn't work, you know, as it's necessary. So we see in the first one, it's all about the actual nature of Krishna and his energies and all their transformation, and then it will naturally have their relationship between them all. Right? Under Prayojana, or fruit, are included those portions of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam that deal with prema, or spiritual love, and negativity with dharma, virtue, artha, material utility, kama, lust, and moksha, merging in the absolute. Okay, so they're going to bring out the positive aspect of the prema and love for Krishna, and the negativity in that where dharma, artha, kama, and moksha are not in line with prema. Right, so that's why we saw whatever section we were reading, you see is that it seems that it always has that sambandha aspect, because the knowledge, that's sambandhigyan, but the actual main point is about the relationship, the process, or result. Right? Interesting here, artha, material utility. Right? So here, you know, here's the point. So being practical. Oh, artha. So we see as we're talking about Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, so you have to have an opening to actually explain what they are. Right? So then you gave the first one, the first verse gave a very, very short point of all the three, so you get a context of the reference between them. Then he gives the verse on each so that you get it more clear, and now he'll go into the more detail. So this is a very standard presentation all the acharyas use. They'll have that first verse that just gives an overview of the whole thing. It says there. Then after that, they'll give a little bit more detail so you see actually what they're talking about. You have enough knowledge that we can get into the detail. If you just jump straight into the detail, you won't understand the reference. You won't understand the connotation. Sambandha, or relationship. One, the worship of Sri Krishna is the only full-fledged, unadulterated function of all souls. The only complete theistic worship. Right, because others, may be theistic, that you're accepting God, but then you're accepting him only as the Lord, or accepting him as the Supreme. Those aren't complete theistic understandings. Only him as a person, that's complete theistic understanding. Right? Because the others, let's say I'm worshiping, and because I'm supposed to, and then, you know, I get the benefit from that. So it's not about Krishna as a person. It's about him as God. So it's in a secondary position. Right? All other forms of worship represent the infinity of gradations of approach towards this complete form of worship. Right? So that means there's one complete form. Right? Then there's unlimited gradations below that. Like that. So that's why you see so much variety within the material world of that. But in the spiritual world, they all have one perception of the absolute truth. Different flavors, different tastes, but one perception. Two, pure theism, involving the active reciprocal relationship of the soul with the divine. Right, active reciprocal relationship. So we're talking more about that. Shanta is accepted because it's all about the Lord. And you're engaging the mind and always thinking about the Lord. But it's considered even better when that generates a desire to render service to that Lord. Right? Does not begin, okay, this active relationship does not begin until there's actual realization of the transcendental personality of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Right? Unless you know he's a person, how do you render, how is there a reciprocal relationship? The degree of this relation corresponds to that of the loving aptitude of his worshiper. Right? So that's actually what's defining the advancement in devotional service, is how much Krishna is a person, how much it's about Krishna. Then your devotion, it's about how much you're trying to please Krishna as a person. From the beginning, it's about Krishna. But it's just how much do you appreciate of him as a person. Right? Because you see, is then in the modern context, it's all about themselves, the individual. Before it was about society and what's good for society and all that. And they still will talk that, but within that, the context is the individual, their rights and what their benefit, doing it for yourself and, you know. Does that make sense? Like that. So we have to be very careful that we don't fall into that same trap, because then it's all about us and us and our needs and our feelings and our how we felt about it and all that. But are we ever asking, well, how does Krishna feel about it? You know, I did this and yes, okay, maybe I did it wrong, you know, like that. But, you know, that's one opinion and all that. But, you know, why are they saying all these things and why are they so strong? And I felt so bad and I was uninspired and, you know, I felt like leaving, you know, the temple and all that. And then everybody else is looking over at the manager, you know, the authority. And, oh, see that, you know, how you're doing is wrong. You're sending people away. This is not preaching. This is that. So we should toss this guy out on the street. Okay? But where in this conversation did Krishna ever come up once? Never. So, but the point is how is it pleasing to Krishna? Right? Because we noticed in here is that it's pointing out in Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana that it's talking about the relationship, the method, the process, and the result, and what's the proper thing, but also what you have to avoid. So now if someone's doing something wrong, it's not good for devotional service. So if you're teaching them how to do what's correct in devotional service, that's proper. That's pleasing to Krishna. It may not be pleasing to modern man, but, you know, since when has that gotten anyone any benefit? You can try to please modern man, but I think that's an impossibility. You know? It kind of goes in the same category as the cow jumping over the moon and that kind of thing. Yeah. So it won't happen. It can't happen. So now in here, now if it's a matter of he's feeling frustration, he's just angry because he's told him so many times and he still does it wrong, and so therefore he got heavy with him and all that, and it's not actually about trying to do it correct, then you can say that's a fault. Like that. But if it's just a matter of this is the correct thing, and because of the person's mentality or background cultivation or, you know, just the environment where everyone is telling him it's about himself. You know what I'm saying? meaning that kind of the modern context, it's if you're an authority, you have to basically be bad, and if you're not an authority, you're somehow or another naturally just good. And so it's all about you as an individual, as a non-authority. Authorities can't be individuals, they're just a group. Right? And so that cultivation of that kind of mentality, then the difficulty comes up is that then they feel that they're, you know, it's their right. It's all about themselves. And the more they like it and all that, but the point is where is their obligation to be actually training and trying to develop good qualities that they can deal with the material world, which isn't that great. But their point is, no, the whole world has to adjust for me so I have a good experience. That makes sense. So, therefore, that's their obligation. Right? And then the other is that it has to be about Krishna. In other words, it has to be about Krishna. That's the obligation. And if that's there, if that's the judge, then you take it. And how close it is to that is correct, and how close it's not to that, that's where the problem is. But to just take it by these external forms, then it'll never get anywhere. So makes sense. So it's why? Because it's not about Krishna.
So then it happens about one's own subjective nature.
Sorry?
If it is not about Krishna, it's about one's own subjective
nature. Yes, it's about one's own nature. Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Pringadi.